back before the first of the year, the Lord just began to put a thought in my mind of to consider the journey upon which you have taken up until this time. And, you know, if we start to think about where we individually came from in our journey with the Lord, where it started and what has happened to us since it started, and how much our understanding and thinking of God has changed, it's awesome. It's an awesome thought to think how much we have changed since we first came to the Lord, and the path or the journey upon which God has brought us out of religion, out of our sin, thinking the way we thought about sin and considered, even the way we first conceived and thought of God Himself, has been a lot of changes. And we start into a new year and new possibilities, and yet the only thing we can do is have our relationship with God and walk with Him. In Colossians 3:10 says, and have put on the new, and the King James says man, but when you look up that in the Greek, the word man is not in there, which is renewed in knowledge after the spirit of Him that created him. And the Amplified says, and you and have been clothed. And one of the things about it, I looked at this scripture, it's past tense. It's not some future. The problem is, and we have said this before, is that man looks at the external. Religion looks at the external. Most of religion is based on the do's and don'ts of what can be seen. But over and over again, we are renewed in our mind or in the knowledge of Him or in the understanding of Him. And He says here, and have been clothed yourself with the new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded into fuller and more perfect knowledge after the image, the likeness of Him who created it. So we have been clothed with the new spiritual self. We are identifying with the reality of who we are. Our mind is being renewed, transformed, metamorphosed. And we are putting on the likeness or the image of God. So we have put on that new spiritual self. That's who we are. You know, you can put a focus on this exterior or outer realm, which is not the reality of who we are. The reality of who we are is that we were created in the image and the likeness of God, who is Spirit. And therefore, man identified with his soulical realm, with his mind, with his natural understanding. And ever since then, man has tried to bring God down into a natural understanding or a natural thoughts. But it can't be done. That's not where it's at. You know, God gave the Ten Commandments, and Israel was never able to keep them, nor has anybody else been able to keep the Ten Commandments since that day. I mean, people think, well, oh, I'm good. And they get up and proclaim what they don't do. But, you know, the reality of it is that most of those who complain or declare that of what they don't do, they will in turn go out and treat their fellow human beings like dirt or talk about them or gossip about them or put down the preachers. We used to say have the preacher for Sunday dinner. You know, those things, proclaiming what they don't do, but Jesus said it's not what goes into you, but it's what comes out of you. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So the reality of change in us has to take place in the spirit realm, in our mind, in our soul, in our heart, our understanding, our comprehension of who God is and who we are. And so here he said that is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded into a fuller and more perfect knowledge after the image and the likeness of him created it. You see, it's in the knowledge, in the understanding of who he is. John says, as we see him, we are shall be like him. First John says, we don't know, we're now the sons of God. Now we are the sons of God. It's not something that will be out there in the future somewhere, but we're now the sons of God. And it does not appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be like him. And I've said it before, but the more you know somebody, the more you're around somebody, the more you trust them. And that's the same way it is with God. The more we know him, which means intimate relationship with God, which cannot be on the natural plane, but only on the spiritual plane, the more we know him, the more we become like him, and the more we know him, the more we have the ability to trust him. To know that all he has for us or desires for us is good. Now you say, wow, things certainly don't always happen for good. But all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. So it is the coming into the understanding that first of all that we are a spiritual being, that we have clothed ourselves with a new spiritual self, and that new spiritual self is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded into a fuller and more perfect knowledge after the image and likeness of him who created it, God who created us. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 49, and the Amplified says, and just as we have borne the image of man, of dust, so let us also bear the image of heaven. And the King James says, as we have borne the image of the earthly, so let us bear the image of the heavenly. You know, it's not striving to be a perfect in this flesh. That's what religion wants you to be, is to look like a perfect Christian or a perfect church member according to the dictates of their laws, their commandments, or their creeds. That's not what God is. God has declared us already perfect. We're spirit. How can spirit be anything but perfect? How can that spirit that came out of God be anything but perfect? And that's where the knowledge and the understanding comes into play. It's what I see or I know in the spiritual realm of who God is. So we born the image of the earthly. So now let us bear the image of the heavenly. And in Philippians 3:21 it says, who shall change or transform our vile body that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Amplified says, who will transform and fashion anew the body of our humiliation, to conform and to be like the body of His glory, majesty, by exerting that power which enables Him even to subject everything to Himself. You see, He transforms. He fashions it. I can't do it. The only thing that we can do is be in His presence. And the fact of the matter is that He is omnipresent. That means He is everywhere present. God is in the divine eternal now. And He's everywhere present, and there's nowhere that we can go that He's not there. The psalmist said, if I ascend to the heavens, lo, He is there. If I descend to the hell, lo, He is there. He is everywhere in the midst of all the storms and circumstances of our lives. So there's nowhere you can go by from His presence. So what it is coming to acknowledge the presence of Him who is always present. You see, He transforms and He's fashioning us into a glorious body like unto His. And in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12, he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. Tommy and I were talking last night. We were talking about, mentioned chapter 7 of Romans. You know, there's nothing that happened from the last verse of chapter 7 of Romans where Paul was saying, the things that I would do, I do not, or the things I would not do, those are things I do, to the first verse of chapter 8, where he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. The one difference was where you walk. If you walk after the Spirit or mind the things of the Spirit, you cannot control the things that enter into your mind. But you can control the things that you entertain. We do not entertain the things of the world. We entertain the things of the Spirit. Now, we've not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, we've not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Spirit who is from God given to us, that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessings so freely and lavishly bestowed upon us. What has God bestowed upon us? He said, we're blessed. It's not that He is bestowing upon us the material values of this world, as so many people desire. David said, one thing have I desired. And that wasn't that he would have gold and fortune and fame and that. But he said, well, the one thing I have desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house or the presence of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, or in the presence of the Lord forever. As the hart panteth for the water brook, so do I pant. I thirst for God. What is our desire? What is our focus? What is the burning desire in our heart? It is to know God in His fullness. And the journey that we have come upon, I just think it's an awesome journey, because probably 90% of people who profess Christianity, they come to know God in a certain denomination, and they die in that denomination and have never moved nowhere else. But there is a people upon the face of this earth upon whose God's hand has been placed, and their destiny has been to walk in a present truth revelation that is birthing the sons of God in the earth. And the ability that they have had that is so different from what most or 90% of Christianity is that God has given them a teachable heart to be able to flow from one revelation or one unveiling of His Word into a new unveiling of His Word and receive that which God is speaking in the present hour. Not to put their tent or build their building upon foundations of revelations of days gone by, but to be able to take God's Word as it's given to us line upon line and precept upon precept and walk on. That's the journey that we have known. And it's an incredible journey. Because most people are not teachable outside of what they believe. And it doesn't take you long to find it. Start sharing with them. You'll see the hair on the back of their head bristle up. And you'll see them become very defensive about what they believe. Because they cannot see beyond that denomination or that belief they're in, and they don't have the ability to go on. But God's given a people the ability to be taught and to go deeper in relationship. And see, we've not received the Spirit of the world, but we've received the Spirit of God. And the things in verse 13 says, the things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. And we are setting these truths forth in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. And in verse 14 it says, but the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can they be known because they are spiritually discerned. The Amplified puts that verse, but the natural man, the non-spiritual man, does not accept and welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are folly, meaningless nonsense to him. And he is incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing and understanding and becoming better acquainted with them, because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. You see, the natural man, even you can go further and say that the religious man cannot understand those things. I mean, when you can take the Word of God and lay it before them as plain as day to us, they still cannot understand those things because they're spiritually discerned. There's a difference between religion that is based on an external natural form and that which is based on a spirit man. That which is based on the external form and trying to rehabilitate or to make perfect that man of flesh and blood, or to come to the fact that God is not working on that man of flesh and blood that much right now. I mean, God sees that, but yet the only provision that God has made for the flesh and blood man is the manifestation of the sons of God. When this corruptible puts on incorruption and this mortal puts on immortality, that is when this body is birthed into that spiritual realm. And we put on the same body that Jesus Christ had. That's our focus. That's our burning desire, is to know God in His fullness, that we might be a part of that manifestation that is going to bring creation and set creation free from the bondage of sin and death. That's what we desire to see. That's the journey that we didn't know when we came to know God, but that is the journey that we were predestinated to take. Amen. Thank God. I mean, we didn't know it. We didn't fit in with that which was around us, and we didn't understand why. It took years for me to understand why, but the fact of the matter is that that journey, the more I look at where I have come from, is an awesome journey. And the thing of it is that journey into the future is even more awesome, that God is leading us into Himself. In Philippians 3:21, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectively at work in you, energizing and creating you the power and desire both to will and to work for His good will, His good pleasure, and satisfying satisfaction and delight." You see, creating in you the power and the desire. The power and the desire. Both to will and to work for His good pleasure. It's not what we do. Not in your own strength. It is God who is all the time working in us. That's why, you know, the looking at and considering the journey we've been upon makes it even more awesome to look at the journey that we're entering into. This is a new year. We've never lived in this year before. We're heading into new territory. God's new day is dawning upon the earth. And I believe that He's bringing His children even into a more unique understanding of Himself. Because as you understand Him and walk with Him, you come to trust Him. And when I look at the life of Jesus, I see that more and more and more. Jesus totally, completely knew God. He was God. And He knew when He spoke to a situation that He didn't have to jump up and down. He didn't have to spend an hour building their faith up. But He knew when He spoke the words that what He spoke was coming to pass. It was going to happen. And beloved, that is the manifested sons of God. That they will also know God in such a way that when they speak His word, they know that it's coming. It will not be like the many of the ministries that we have seen in our lifetime that holler and jump up and down and make all kinds of gyrations and try to teach people to have faith. And then when it don't happen, they put it on the individual and say, "Well, it's just you don't have the faith to do it." No, it is the reality that when the word of God is spoken, He said, "My word will not go out and return unto me void, but it will accomplish that it is sent to do." And when God tells you to speak His word to somebody, that word is going to bring an effect. Then that comes from the fact that we have the ability to trust Him totally and completely. That this natural mind at that time will have been totally and completely metamorphosed and changed and taken its rightful position under the Spirit. And you will be led by and guided by the Spirit which you are. And you will walk fully in that Spirit anointing to set creation free. And the journey that we have been upon is incredible. And the journey that we're upon today is incredible. And the journey that we're heading upon is incredible. Because God has His hand upon a people that is going to minister to creation as He has desired. They're not going to put their shingle up and put their picture up. It'll be God. It's God, because we come to the place where we recognize that there is nothing, it's not by works, it's not by what I do, it's nothing that I can conjure up you know, used to understand, get up and we sing a fast song. Ministers knew how to work up a congregation and get them going and get them jumping and hollering. And, you know, they knew how to do it. They knew what it took to do it. But the reality is that that's not what we are. We know the ever-present, calm, abiding presence of God. That it doesn't take, that He doesn't take in working up. He's always there. He's always ready. He's always working on our behalf. His word that is going forth. Not by my works. Not anything that I could do lest we could boast. Because I cannot boast. Paul said, I cannot boast in anything but the cross. Paul said, everything that I had I counted but loss for the knowledge of Christ. You see, he counted everything but done that he may win Christ. He listed all of his qualifications of who he was. He was a big man in the church. He had it all. He was a Hebrew. He was a Pharisee. He had it all. He had all the credentials of being a perfect Christian, or a perfect Jew, if you want to say it, or a perfect member of the temple in his day. He had it all. But he counted it all but lost. He said, we are those who put no confidence in the flesh. Our confidence is placed in God. Our trust is placed in God. If God doesn't do it, then it's not going to get done. Because if man could do it, believe me, he would manifest himself in the state that he's in. And you talk about a problem that we would have, it would be a problem. Because the first thing he would do would put up his shingle and declare himself an evangelist of some sort. But the reality is that when God promotes you, then there is no I. The I has been crucified. The I has died. And we live by the faith of the Son of God that called us out of the kingdom of darkness and placed us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So we walk on with our eyes steadfastly fastened upon our Father, realizing that He has placed His hand upon us and called us to the kingdom for such a time as this. And His day of manifesting His sons, I believe, is near. And we're walking toward that day. That's our desire. That's our trust. Is to know Him, as Paul said, in the power of His resurrection and in the fellowship of His suffering. To know the reality of who He is. And in knowing who He is, I will also know who I am. And understand my position in the body of Christ. For we are His sons. And I've said it over and over again. What an awesome, what a wonderful, what a precious Father that we walk with each and every day. Amen.